Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
A couple of minutes to speak about the senator, who I call my friend as well. A lot of people don't know the full story about him and his family, so I'm going to tell you real quick. As you all know on the board, his father was sheriff back in 1959 and was killed in the line of duty. And then his mother took office, and then after his mother, his brother took office. So the Broxson lineage and the help that they've done to Santa Rosa County is well known.
Yeah, and by the way, the story of his father and his family and everything is very touching. You know, I've heard Senator Broxson talk about this in his floor speech when he was leaving, which was quite a, you know, we played a lot of that for you because I thought it was so interesting. But this is Sheriff Bob Johnson giving kudos to outgoing, although he still is the senator from District 1, which is, you know, Okaloosa County, Santa Rosa County, and Escambia County. Some of Okaloosa County, not all of the county. Anyway, this is that Monday's agenda review where they were talking, or committee meeting, sorry, they call it agenda review. Everybody else calls their meeting this the same thing. Anyway, Sheriff Johnson went on to talk about him some more.
I went to Tallahassee to get a bill passed, and I've never done that before. And let me tell you, it's a tough process. And Senator Broxson kind of took me under his wing and showed me around the Senate and told me who to talk to, and he put his political weight behind the bill. And not only did it pass the Senate on its first try, there was not one no vote out of the entire Senate. The entire board was green, and it was because of Senator Broxson putting his political weight behind the bill.
Yeah, that's we've talked with Bob Johnson about that bill. That's the one that allows the officers to see if you opt in when they run your plate, that they can see that there's somebody with special needs in the family. That gives them a little bit of a clue that the situation might require a little bit more delicacy. So that's going to, you know, protect people and possibly, you know, protect lives even, maybe. And then, you know, finishing up saying,
and it's a bill that will help all Floridians that have any kind of special needs person in their family, and it goes a long way for Santa Rosa County, but for the state of Florida as well. So I just want to take this time to say thank you, Senator Broxson, for all you've done for me, all you've done for Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, and all you've done for Santa Rosa County as a whole. So, and I feel really privileged to call you my friend, and hopefully we'll get to have dinner or something soon in your retirement. So congratulations.
And all of the county commissioners spoke about how, you know, wonderful Doug Broxson is. And actually kind of some interesting comments by James Calkins saying that, you know, he had supported Mike Hill. He didn't name him. But when Mike and Doug run against each other, both having been former state reps, and they run against each other for the seat vacated when Greg Evers passed away, that he had supported Mike Hill. His wife was the, you know, staffer who did legislative aid for Mike Hill, Maria Calkins. Anyway, but then said that afterwards Doug called him, then they, you know, talked, and, you know, he thought that was quite a testament to Doug Broxson that he would reach out to him even though they had been, you know, sort of political opponents or whatever. And that's true. I mean, that's very much the kind of thing that Doug Broxson would do. So, of course, the senator gets up to speak, and as you would expect if you know Senator Broxson, he had things to say in a very Doug Broxson-y way.
Oh, thank you. That's more than I deserve, and it's an incredible honor to have people say good things about you. It's frightening, really. The Bible says to be careful for those who praise you. Reminds me of the pastor who they gave a plaque around his neck, and he wore it for humility, and he wore it three Sundays in a row, and they had to take it away from him.
I thought, that's not surprising. I think that Doug does not particularly like to be the center of attention, doesn't particularly like to speak in public. Remember, he had his terrible stuttering problem as a kid and, you know, had to kind of overcome that. And, you know, just all the things that he talked about having to deal with growing up. It's if you know his swords, it's very fascinating. But he took the opportunity to say some things and to sort of imply without saying some things that I thought were very interesting, and I'll share that with you in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are looking pretty good this morning. Just seeing that one accident, if you're heading westbound on Navarre Parkway, right as you pass 87 on your left and the Navarre Beach Causeway on your right, it looks like a vehicle crash is backing up traffic just a little bit, so be cautious when you're rounding that bend. And other than that, I'm seeing North Palafox Street heading south, just south of that Tahar Street intersection, looking like some delays there as well. So be expecting that. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. This traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Senator Doug Broxson Monday at the Santa Rosa County committee meeting. And like I said, I wasn't necessarily didn't know what I was expecting out of him, but this was, it was very interesting. Here's how he started.
I represent three counties, and I get to see from a distance and personally how those counties interact. Okaloosa, let me tell you about Okaloosa. They, when you go to a meeting there, it's about as kind of meeting as you can imagine. The people are respectful. The commissioners seem to have a genuine respect for each other. And it reflects in some of the things that happens within that county.
There is one? Okay. Wow. What's that like? Anyway, and then he goes on.
Escambia is a unique county in that many of the votes are 3-2 because there's three commissioners that have developed a very close relationship, and they seem to move the things that are important to the county through those, and really the other two commissioners, one's no longer there, but they've done their duty to try to make sure that they had good public policy.
Yeah, that's a very diplomatic way of saying that Escambia County is split right down the middle with the 3-2 majority, you know, the three on the one side who pretty much always do whatever they want, Stephen Barry, Lumen May, and Jeff Bergosh, and then, you know, others are free to agree or disagree. It doesn't really matter. They're going to do what they want. he didn't say it that way, but that's how I would say it. And then you kind of wonder, where's this all going, right?
Then we come to Santa Rosa.
Uh-oh.
People ask me sometimes,
and, you know, I've never heard out loud the sound of someone biting their lip in their brain. But here, let me tell you what this sounds like.
People ask me sometimes.
Right here. That's what it sounds like.
We all understand football. And right now we're in a period where we're trying to, our state colleges are trying to get 5-star athletes. They're predictable. We know they're going to perform if they don't get hurt.
And you got to be wondering, what in the, what are we doing?
When you look at politicians, you don't always get a 5-star athlete. You don't always get a 5-star. I always consider myself a 1-star.
I wouldn't presume to translate for him, but to me, that was quite a statement. And then we come to Santa Rosa County. And let's just say, you know, some of y'all are 5-star athletes. Not all of y'all.
But what is the difference? People ask me, why have you done so well in Tallahassee? And I'll tell you, it is biblical. You treat people the way that you want to be treated. You do it through kindness. You respect what they say and what they do. You may disagree, but you do it in such a kind way that people say, at least he's listening to me, at least he cares. That's got to be the hallmark of who we are as people, because we all share that same ability to be friendly and kind and make a person feel like they have value. And we diminish that, and you begin to bog down into personal accusations and assaults. It really does not help the county at all.
But we do it so well. What do you mean? Are you sure?
And I encourage you as a commission to continue to try to lift this county up, to be positive, to be influence of good and not bad. We're a great county. We're going to have a lot of people that want to live in this county in the next 20 years because we are such a great county.
So one of the challenges of the not so obvious sort of oblique criticism advice is that typically the person or people who most need to hear it don't realize it's about them. They're not good at picking up the clues, right?
Don't always listen to the voices.
Oh, this is good.
The reality, when you talk about we the people, the only people that are certified to be we the people are you. You were elected. You went before the voters and they said, we want you.
That's true.
Act like it. Vote like it. Be like it. Be a leader and let the consequences fall where they are. And again, I want to say it's been a great pleasure to be part of this county, to call this my home county. And I really admire anyone who gets into politics. I would never want your position, by the way. Most people think I live in Washington.
The subtext of this is that there is a group of people in Santa Rosa County who like to show up to the meeting claiming to represent the people. The people want this, people want this, people don't want this. And what he's saying is, you know, who represents the people is y'all, not them. Now, because he's not coming out and saying any of this, I'm reading between the lines, but that's how I heard it. And I think he's exactly right. You do have to listen to, you know, you have to take account of the perspectives. But in the end, you're the elected leaders. And you're the one who people actually put in office, no matter what a person in the public forum happens to say. And he finally says,
it's an incredible honor to serve. And it's an incredible honor to have people say good things about you. And most of that is reflection, that not of me, but my basic faith that you have to be good, you have to be kind, and you have to treat people the way you want to be treated. So God bless you, and thank you for having me today.
So what I'm kind of curious about, and I do not know, is whether Escambia County might do something like this. I don't know whether Okaloosa has done something to honor him for his long service or not, but I thought it was a neat moment. And as you could tell, there were comments that I thought were newsworthy in and of themselves. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You say? No way. To win big, you got to do what?
Lose.
Lose big.
That's
lose
right.
Big. What are we doing now?
We're losing big.
Good morning. 5, 6, 8, 4. I don't know. I'm just going to throw numbers out there randomly. 625 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy's got our traffic on the 5, sir. Jimmy?
If you are heading westbound on Navarre Parkway, right as you pass 87 on your left and the Navarre Causeway on your right, there's a crash that is causing a traffic buildup, and it looks like all the way to that Walmart in Navarre. So drive with caution in, as you're rounding that bend there. Other than that, we are just seeing some of that typical morning traffic, especially coming into Pensacola from Highway 29, both north and southbound on that, so be expecting some delays there. We should mention that construction on I-10 and Highway 29 will be going on from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. until Friday morning, so just expect lane closures for that. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Jimmy. Into the newsroom, David Wayne has got our headlines. David?
The Texas Supreme Court putting a hold on a guaranteed income program that was approved in Houston. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filed a lawsuit. He says the program is unconstitutional. It would have given monthly $500 checks to low-income residents there. Grindr users are suing the app for allegedly selling sensitive information like HIV status without their consent. Now, this lawsuit was filed in the UK. It claims the dating app targeted towards gay and bisexual men disclosed information about the health and sex lives of users to advertisers without their knowledge. And millions of salaried workers across the U.S. may soon qualify for overtime pay, thanks to a new rule from the Biden administration. That rule, announced Tuesday by the Department of Labor, changes the threshold under which salaried employees become eligible for overtime. The department estimates that 4 million people may now qualify for overtime pay once the new rule is implemented, and that'll go into effect in January.
Well, say that one more time, because I remember there was a story about reclassifying people on the basis of, you know, like they might be classified as managers, but if they don't actually do managerial duties, it's a way to avoid paying them hourly in the overtime, getting 50 hours out of them with only paying for 40.
Right.
Is that what this is about?
Well, this just says it changes the threshold under which salaried employees become eligible.
Yeah, that's so it. And that goes into effect in January?
This coming January.
Yeah, I remember this being a big story because you got a lot of people who are, I forget what the number is for that threshold, but they basically, they set a number and they said, you know, if you're not making, I want to say it was like 35 grand, somewhere in that vicinity. If you're not making that much, you can't be salaried. You have to be paid hourly,
right,
and therefore have to be paid overtime and be clocked in and out.
There were a lot of like restaurant workers, managers, things like that, that were really putting in tons of hours for very little pay.
Here, I'm gonna promote you to assistant manager, which we're gonna, you know, double your hours and we're gonna increase your pay by 10%. Now I've got the keys and what else? That's it. Which is good. Again, that's a good thing to, you know, clamp down on that abuse, because there's, you know, it's just, it is. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. People, you know. Look, I don't work an hourly wage. I'm a salary, you know, and I put in more than 40 hours a week. And that's fine. That's part of the job. I understand that. I mean, a lot more than 40 hours a week. But again, that's part of my job. But people who, you know, if you just try to reclassify them as managerial in order to avoid paying them overtime and then work them 50 or 60 hours a week, well, that's evil. I mean, that's abusive.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's not good. David, thanks so much for the update. 628 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, for years, I have been begging Pounders to come here. This is, if you've not heard of Pounders Hawaiian Grill, it's a, oh my God, it's just so good. I mean, honestly, so good. You know, they've got teriyaki chicken, teriyaki, and, you know, I might say teriyaki chicken, you'd be like, well, how good is it? Well, you try and tell me, because it's really good. The teriyaki steak is a little bit more, just a little more to buy, but it's worth it. The Kahlua pig, those are the three I always order. And then white rice, brown rice, macaroni salad, greens, cabbage, it's very good. Anyway, it's a fast, casual Hawaiian grill by the Penny's or the Academy Sports on North Davis Highway and University Mall, right where the old Dickies used to be. And we know this restaurant because we discovered it years ago in Crestview. I don't know how, but we did. And we went there. I'm like, oh. And so every time we come back through that area in Crestview on I-10, or, you know, if we're up north of Crestview doing something like my son and I go airsofting in Laurel Hill sometimes, we always stop and get. And I always say, when are you coming to Pensacola? I go in the back room afterwards, and I'm groaning in happiness, and I tell them, the food's fantastic. When are you coming to Pensacola? And they say, well, you know, maybe. I'm like, okay. So they finally did. So anyway, don't go on a Sunday or a Monday. They're closed Sunday and Monday. So if you're going to go, you know, go today, tomorrow, Saturday, whatever, but don't go Sunday or Monday. It's fantastic. Pounders Hawaiian Grill on North Davis Highway. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? The Dixon Dub. Dixon School of the Arts and Sciences is proud to have the Dixon Dub on Saturday, May 4th, Star Wars Day, at the Hilton on Pensacola Beach. It's a good evening of entertainment and fun and fundraising for a great cause. NewsRadio923.com if you want to get more information about that. And Bands on the Beach is, again, in full swing. So next Tuesday, True Blue Band, April 30th, we have the True Blue Band is going to be here. Coming up next, we're going to be talking to Bruce Woody. He's the executive director at ECUA. How are the rules on PFAS regulations and acceptable thresholds going to change your bill at ECUA?
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The Senate approving a $95 billion foreign aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan.
Tonight, we tell our allies, we stand with you. We tell our adversaries, don't mess with us.
That's Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. The bill also includes a provision that could result in a nationwide ban of TikTok. The president expected to sign it. While the majority leader was getting that bill passed, anti-Israel protesters swarmed the street in front of Senator Schumer's home in Brooklyn, New York. Protests continued at college campuses on both coasts. Hundreds camped out at Columbia University and ignored a midnight deadline to disperse, while dozens barricaded themselves inside Cal Poly Humboldt in California. House Speaker Mike Johnson set to meet with Jewish students at Columbia today. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, we've got 58 degrees, partly cloudy, beautiful morning here in Pensacola today. Well, late last year, the TSA completed a series of upgrades to their baggage checkpoints at the Pensacola Airport. Now, despite those improvements, the lines haven't really gone away. And at times, they've been even worse. There's just not enough workers.
We had a rough year last year with, I believe, 16 times we were on TSA's own watch list of things taking too long. We've been on it four times, or maybe it was 12 last year, four times this year already, including a couple of those days we were on twice in one day.
And Mayor Reeves says he has had enough. He sent a letter now to Senator Rick Scott asking for help. This comes as city leaders are continuing to try and raise money to help pay for a terminal expansion at the airport. Well, Pensacola police warning residents about online and phone scams. Law enforcement agencies, they say, will never send an email or call and ask for money via gift card, credit card, crypto, or any other electronic funding source like your PayPal, Venmo, or Cash App. PPD says scammers will almost always use bullying tactics to try to get that money from you. PPD does say one recent victim lost almost $50,000 to one of these scams. They're currently taking reports, they say, almost daily from new victims. The Escambia Sheriff's Office pulled out their "This Drug House is Closed" sign after a SWAT raid on 65th Avenue last week. 29-year-old Dylan Royster was arrested after deputies say they seized meth, fentanyl, guns, and thousands of dollars in cash from
this
the home.
This is the type of person that's ruining our community. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about drugs poisoning our community and infiltrating our community. When you have that much drugs, you know, fentanyl itself is so deadly. And certainly that's why it's our top priority.
And Royster remains in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. Governor Ron DeSantis thinks Republicans in Congress may have surrendered on the border. That's what he said yesterday after the House border bill failed to pass over the weekend. Instead, the House passed three foreign aid bills worth $95 billion and a bill that could lead to a ban on TikTok. The governor says House Republicans didn't solve the number one issue that GOP voters had wanted them to address. Florida's Attorney General Ashley Moody says she's planning to challenge what she calls a betrayal of women by the Biden administration. Moody tweeting yesterday about President Biden's changes to Title IX that she says shred protections for women. Moody says that young girls can now legally be forced to undress in the same room with males in a locker room and can be assigned biologically male roommates. Also, Ashley Moody says she may get involved in the legal battle between the ACC and Florida State University. Ashley Moody says she will be fighting for the sovereign immunity of the state of Florida, organizations, and entities. FSU currently appealing a ruling by a judge in North Carolina, allowing the ACC's lawsuit against FSU to go forward. The judge ruled that FSU waived its sovereign immunity by participating in ACC activities for decades. Moody tells the News Service of Florida that ruling is extraordinarily concerning. It's 6:35 right now at News Radio, and Jimmy has our traffic on the fives.
If you are heading eastbound on Navarre Parkway, right as you pass 87 on your left and the Navarre Beach Causeway on your right, there's a crash that is causing traffic buildup. It looks like all the way to the Walmart. We mentioned this earlier. Just drive with caution as you're rounding that bend there. Otherwise, just seeing that typical morning traffic, specifically building up on Palafox and Fairfield, that crazy intersection where Tahar and Fairfield split off, and going all the way into Jordan Street. So expect delays there. We should also mention that construction on I-10 and Highway 29 will be going on from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. until Friday morning, so expect lane closures. If you see anything, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
It is going to be a beautiful sunny day today with temperatures warming up near 78 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 59. Beautiful and sunny on Thursday with a high near 78. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. We're going to round out the work week with some nice sunny weather. High on Friday near 79 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, it is 58 degrees in Pensacola, 60 in Gulf Breeze, 53 in Milton. Your next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Bird flu fears are driving up egg prices again due to recent outbreaks in poultry facilities across the U.S., Japan, and other nations. The Department of Agriculture revealed that in the last 30 days, more than 8 million birds remain infected. Bird flu is not the only thing impacting egg supply. Other driving forces include hot weather and higher meat prices, which is pushing some people to look for alternative proteins. Amazon Chief Technology Officer Werner Vogels said the retail giant is opening cloud regions in Southeast Asia because customers want their data stored in their own countries. A Canalys report shows Amazon's cloud computing division, Amazon Web Services, was the largest cloud service provider in the fourth quarter. An added bonus, each physical AWS location has its own power and security. Futures are mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 263. That's your money now.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
The celebration continues at Peakmore Imports during Volkswagen's 75th anniversary sales event. Drive the Volkswagen Tiguan, a spacious SUV with plenty of savings, like a $2,000 customer cash discount, or lock in 0% APR for 60 full months. And for VW's largest SUVs, the Atlas and Atlas Cross Sport, you can choose 1.9% APR for 60 months or a $3,000 customer cash discount. For 75 years, Volkswagen has delivered a lineup of vehicles much loved by generations. From the VW ID.4 EV, the VW Taos, the ever-popular Jetta sedan, and the GTI and Golf R performance cars, VW continues to deliver excitement today. So come to Peatmore Imports and celebrate with savings. 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI and a standalone offer in lieu of customer cash discounts. Must take retail delivery by April 30th. See dealer for details.
Need urgent care or a walk-in clinic? Go to ProHealth. Post-accident physical to access your PIP money? Go to ProHealth. Drug test, DNA testing? Go to ProHealthFL.com. Affordable lab work or primary care? Go to ProHealth. An affordable Ozempic medical weight loss program? ProHealth is your answer. Does your child need a camp or a sports physical? Only $40 at ProHealth. ProHealth never requires a doctor's order or an appointment. Just walk right in one of their 7 locations. Also at ProHealthFL.com.
News Radio Pensacola. Your home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Start your mornings off with the award-winning Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jake. Then, get informed and laugh from 11 till 2 with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, followed by the Guy Benson Show. Your afternoon drive is anchored by Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin, followed by Dave Ramsey. It's News Radio Pensacola, heard on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
So good. Back when we made theme music for TV shows, good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And Bruce Woody is the executive director at the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. They do your trash. They do your recycling. They do your yard waste. They do your water and your sewer. They do a lot of stuff that really matters a lot to your ordinary life. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Glad to be here, Andrew.
Good to have you. The main conversation I want to have with you is about PFAS and the rules the EPA just came out with, because I know that's going to affect everything that y'all do, or a lot of what you do. But before that, two quick notes I want to get to. One is that one of the things you guys worked on yesterday is a project that is going to have potentially major traffic impact on Softley Field, Michigan at Mobile Highway. Is that right?
That's true. We're going to be replacing the transmission main on Michigan Avenue. We're doing that in advance of a FDOT project that they're also doing on Michigan Avenue. Our work will start on the west side of Mobile Highway over at Royal Port Court. That's just a couple blocks west of Mobile Highway. And we'll continue east to Esperanto Drive, which is about 8 or 10 blocks east of Michigan Avenue. Again, this is work we've just advertised for bids here, so it'll start occurring in the fall, and it's advance of some work that MoDOT or FDOT's doing.
All right, and so that's basically going to, I mean, again, at Softley Field, Michigan, at Mobile Highway, and you're going to be replacing a water main there as part of an FDOT project that's coming in the future. Very good. And like you said, it won't happen tomorrow or anything, but when it does, you'll know it's happening. The other thing is, you guys have budget meetings coming up, right? If people want to, you know, learn about the budget for ECUA or have input on it.
Yes, our budget cycle runs from October 1st to September 30, and this is the time of year that we review budget proposals for the next fiscal year. So for FY25, we'll be meeting on May 13th, 14th, 15th. That's a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then also the following Tuesday, the 21st. Those meetings start at 3 p.m. in the afternoon at our Elson Field facilities, and we'll be giving program by program project descriptions and talking on finances for next year.
Very good. Speaking of things that cost money, the EPA just came out with its, I think, the final rule. It's always a long time coming, this stuff, but on the forever chemicals, PFAS, which we know is an issue in our area because of the firefighting foam that was used at, you know, NAS Pensacola, NAS Whiting Field, and that it's in a lot of stuff anyway, aside from that. My understanding of this is that this is going to wind up costing a fairly significant amount of money because of the requirement to do testing and then the filtering and all of that. So you tell me, how is this going to affect me as an ECUA customer? How is this going to affect costs for your organization?
Okay. Yes, this is a project that's been a long time coming. The first health advisories for PFAS came out clear in 2009. So here we are all these years later. We finally have actual limits that we can plan for. ECUA's board.
What are those limits?
Prior...
What are the numbers? I just don't remember the numbers.
4 parts per trillion.
Okay.
4 parts per trillion, not billion.
You're right. Not billion, even million.
Trillion.
PPT, very small.
extremely strong. In fact, it's part of what went into consideration for choosing those numbers by the EPA is what we are technically able to even monitor for and sample for.
Right. So the limits of the testing capability are part of what determines what's the safe limit of you know, parts per trillion in the water. Go ahead. I want people to understand how just how low these thresholds are. Go ahead.
Yeah, remarkably low. So anyway, they are in place now. What happens with all new regulations is a period of time that those being regulated have to come into compliance. Key items for everybody across the nation, not just ECUA, is that public water systems have 3 years initially until 2027 to complete their initial monitoring. By the way, we've already completed that. Water systems must also then share public information over that period of time. That information is already available. Public water systems then have 5 years to implement solutions that reduce PFAS amounts in the water. This board and previous boards have been investing in this topic, knowing it was coming for many years. We already have 9 wells that have those systems, filtering systems already in place. Another 4 are currently in construction as we speak before this rule even came down.
And how many other wells are there? I always forget the total number of wells. So you have 9 9 with filters, 4 under construction for the filters, and then how many other wells?
And then there's another 13 that are planned. You know, as these discussions have gone on over the years, back in 2009, they thought the limits would be 200. Then they thought they would be 70. And then here they dropped all the way to 4. You know, wow. So we were putting in things, expecting those higher numbers when we first started this program back in 2009. Another 13 are planned because we have the possibility of some of those wells not meeting that 4 parts per trillion. We have 4 wells that have just never had any hits, non-detect, so probably will never need filtration on them.
And on the since you guys were aiming at a much higher threshold, is the filter itself something that can be? Can you go from like, well, we had thought that it was going to be 70 parts per trillion, and so we bought filter A. It turns out that it's going to be 4 parts per trillion, and that means that we need to get filter B. Can you just order filter B and put it in the apparatus that was going to be designed to use filter A, or do you have to put in a whole new system for protecting that well?
No, it doesn't really work that way. We use activated carbon for the filtration system, and we take samples over the lifetime of that filter to determine the amount of withdrawal that's being made between the raw water coming in and the finished water that's going out.
Got it.
And all that means is there's a lower threshold, that means that we have to replace that GAC more frequently than we would otherwise.
Okay, so the filters themselves,
which is a real big
the filters themselves produce what would essentially be undetectable on the backside, on the outgoing side.
Right.
It's just that they only can do that for so long, depending on what level you're hitting. So it starts at 0, and then it's 1, it's 2, and then when it hits 4, you say, "Oh, we got to replace that filter," and that's more frequent than if it was replacing it at 50 or 70. Do I basically have it right?
Well described, yes.
Thank you. It's my job is to understand, so, and I want people to get this is a big deal. We're talking to Bruce Woody. He's the executive director at ECUA. More on this topic in just a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are heading eastbound on Cervantes, right as you cross that intersection with I-10, across from the fire station, there was a single vehicle incident that is building up some traffic. And that crash that we mentioned earlier on Navarre Parkway, right as you pass 87 on your left and round that bend, past the Navarre Beach Causeway on your right, there's a crash that's causing a lot of traffic buildup. Looks like all the way to the Walmart over there in Navarre. So drive with caution in there. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy, traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Bruce Woody from ECUA. So again, just to get people caught up who might not have been listening or catching it all, because of the new rules put in by EPA where we thought maybe the goal would have been, 10 parts per trillion or something like this, it's actually now 4 parts per trillion, which is if you can detect it, you're over. And so we have to change out these very, very expensive activated carbon filters in the wells where there is any detectable amount of PFAS. And there's timelines involved, okay? But, like, the changeouts are very expensive, not only because you've got to put in and take out the new filter, But disposal of those filters is also very expensive. And those costs have gone up because everybody's having to comply with all of this stuff, right? I mean, am I in the right vicinity here, Bruce?
Yes. And when we look at this issue, there's really two cost components. One is the capital cost of installing these filters. Like, as we said, we've got 13 other locations we're going to be adding them. We estimate we probably have $42 to $45 million worth of capital costs that we're facing over the next 3 to 5 years to just install all this equipment at the remaining locations we need to add.
Wow.
Then after that, we'll have the operational and maintenance costs that you were just describing, and that's changing the filters. And there's so much more demand going forward for that, that's going to be a challenge as well. The availability of the GAC filter equipment, places to dispose of it after it's done. Some locations are determining that GAC is considered a hazardous waste and don't want to take it at various landfills. So we have to take it to special arid landfills clear out in the far west, Arizona, New Mexico, et cetera. And that really adds a lot of expense.
And my understanding, you correct me if I'm wrong, is that there's a very limited number of places that even take it. Because, again, it's, you know, the filter catches the PFAS that we're trying to get rid of, and people don't want to put that just, you know, in some landfill somewhere. They've got to take care of that specially. And the prices for the disposal have gone up. Like, all of that is what concerns me. What is our annual cost, if you had to guess, for the infrastructure, the capital side, which, as you said, was enormous already, but what kind of additional operating expense are we talking about just for filter replacement and maintenance?
Yeah, to give you an idea of the escalation, 3 years ago we spent about $650,000 a year replacing filters. 4 years ago, it was only $300,000. But starting in a couple years from now, once we get more online, we estimate probably $3 million per year. And as all of those vessels come online, it may be as much as $6 million per year.
Wow. And what is the operating budget for ECUA? Like, I'm trying to put this in perspective of the overall, like, what we're going to have to pay, because we're going to have to pay. What's the overall budget for ECUA?
Overall budget for ECUA is about $92 million a year just on the O&M side and a comparable amount on the CIP side. I do have some good news about the CIP side of it, though. As you
please
know,
please do. I'll take it.
Utilities across the United States have sued the manufacturers of these materials, and won. While it won't cover our long ongoing costs, the good news is in the short term, ECUA, for instance, we'll be receiving probably in the range of about $40 to $42 million from the company 3M, probably another $5 or $6 million from a company named DuPont, a yet unknown amount from a smaller company called Tyco. That'll be a small amount as well. We probably will have close to enough funds coming in over these next 3 to 5 years to cover costs for the capital improvements, that $42, $44 million. Not quite
well,
enough, but
that's
pretty
huge
close.
News. Yeah, so no, that's great.
That's tremendous news.
Yeah, if these companies... go ahead.
But it really doesn't address ongoing operation and maintenance. That will eventually be an issue that everybody across the nation will have to start picking up in water rates. And that's changing those filters as frequently as need be.
So putting all of that down to the bottom line that the average customer cares about, in the process of complying with this extraordinarily low testing threshold over the next several years as ECUA complies with and implements and is ahead of the curve most of the time on this stuff, which is good, what's the change in people's water bill likely to be?
That's a difficult and I hesitate to really speculate. I don't want to overestimate or underestimate.
But for perspective, out of a $90 million budget, we're expecting about $3 million a year, possibly as high as $6 million a year of extra costs due to just the filter replacement and maintenance. So, you know, if that helps give people a perspective.
Yeah, every 1% of the water and wastewater budget brings in a little over $1 million.
Okay. Well, Bruce, listen, I'd been wanting to have this conversation with you because I know this is the big thing you guys have been working on, and you've been waiting for the hammer to drop from the EPA about what this would all mean. You know, the takeaway from my point of view is, hey, you know, we realize these chemicals are bad, and we've known that, but we didn't know just, you know, how much we'd have to clean up. And, you know, we're working on it, and it's going to be expensive. But, again, like you said, getting the money from 3M and DuPont and Tyco is actually really good news in terms of defraying the cost of the – or covering maybe the cost of the capital improvement side of this equation. Bruce Woody is the executive director at the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority, ECUA. Bruce, I tell you every time because I mean it. Thank you for picking up my garbage and my recycling and giving me water and taking care of the sewer. I appreciate it. It's important work, and I appreciate the time this morning, sir.
Thank you very much, Andrew. I appreciate the opportunity to share information with the public.
Absolutely. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives. There you go.
If you are heading eastbound on Cervantes, right as you cross the intersection with I-110, you know, before the coffee cup, there was an accident, single vehicle incident that is causing some significant traffic buildup. So please drive with caution in that area. And I mentioned this before, but eastbound on Navarre Parkway, right as you pass 87 on your left and Navarre Beach Causeway on your right, right as you're rounding that bend, there's a crash that's causing traffic buildup. And it looks all the way to that Walmart down the road there. So expect some delays in there. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This report is sponsored by Allstate. Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate, not one based on anyone else. Visit allstate.com or call for a quote today. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Join Makia of Fleet Feet and their guest at 9 a.m. today for Fleet Feet's updates on running and walking clubs, Fleet Feet's new shoe lines, and upcoming events. Check out their new store on Garden Street, downtown Pensacola, across from Everman. Get your Fit ID scan in the store, and it's not just for runners, it's for everyone who wears shoes. Tune to the Pep Talk for more information.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Trouble, folks, right here in River City. Trouble with a capital T, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
Yes, the very familiar segue from Rodgers and Hammerstein into Steven Tyler. probably not the most common transition. 6:58 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the city of Baltimore still recovering, of course, after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge last month. Tomorrow, they're going to be opening a deeper channel to allow commercial ships in and out of the port of Baltimore.
That's good news. Very good.
Very
all right.
Good, yeah.
And in case you were wondering, an American company has made available for sale a fire-breathing robot dog that can shoot fire, like 30 feet in the distance. Telegraph's reporting on this morning. And it's every horrible thing you can imagine. It's the little robot Boston Dynamics dogs with a flamethrower built in.
I have to have it.
I think it's probably illegal.
Listen on air 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.